Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Hey everyone, welcome into another team preview here for the 2024 season. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by Koopa. Koopa, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? I'm excited to get into the NFC North. This is the division that we'll see as we go through this week, but at least in my cursory overview, I think this might be the strongest division in the NFL. Any of these teams in here, I have a pretty clear story of how they end up making the playoffs or potentially. There's only one team that I don't think has a shot to win the division, but every team I can see making the playoffs, and this could easily be a division that ends up getting like two wild card spots and having their division winner in it, and they're just dominating coming into the playoffs.
Yeah, and two of our first-round quarterbacks are in this this division as well, so that'll be interesting to go over them. But today we're going to go over the Chicago Bears first. So head coach is Matt Eberflus. The offensive coordinator is Shane Waldron, coming over from Seattle. He's going to be the new Chicago Bears offensive coordinator, so we'll see how that works out. Some of the key players who left this year for the Bears, obviously Justin Fields was dealt to the Steelers. Deontay Foreman went to the Browns, and Darnell Mooney left to Atlanta. So targets and vacated air yards, 106 targets are missing and 870 yards. Robert Tonyan also left. I forgot to add him recently as well. So quarterbacks, go ahead and fire us off with the quarterbacks there, Koopa.
Yeah, so you've got Caleb Williams, their 101 overall pick from this year, courtesy of the Carolina Panthers. He's a number one overall generational quarterback that's been talked about for years and years in the college community, just essentially getting his 3 years before he got to the NFL. He's going to be the starter for sure, because the guys behind him are Tyson Bagent, a UDFA from last year, who actually performed quite well in the couple opportunities that he had to start when Fields was hurt. And then they also have Brett Rippon and Austin Reed. Austin Reed's a UDFA out of Western Kentucky. I 100% the guy that you want for sure is Caleb Williams. He is quarterback 14 for fantasy purposes right now, so people are expecting him to come in and do quite well initially, and as we go through the rest of this team, we will figure out why when we start talking about all the weapons that he has to throw to play around, all those sorts of things. And Tyson Bagent is somebody I would put on my team if it's like a lineup league, I'm looking for a backup quarterback, that sort of thing, because he performed quite well last year when they really only had DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Now they've only added to the room, and he was pretty serviceable. I mean, he didn't knock your socks off by any stretch in terms of the fantasy world, but he did just enough to be a good spot start quarterback if you needed it.
Yeah, and they only kept two quarterbacks on their initial 53 last year, which was basically Fields and Bagent anyways. This year I'm thinking it's probably going to be the same, Caleb and Bagent. I mean, Rippon does have experience. He's been in the league a couple years here, so that could be a good little resource for Caleb to bounce off of. Honestly, I would rather them bring in a more veteran quarterback to kind of help Caleb a little bit, like a Ryan Tannehill still available, if they could get him to come be the backup. I think that would be a good person for Caleb to learn off of. I mean, you can have Bajan as the three. I mean, Brett Rippon is not very good. Austin Reed, he took over for Bailey Zappi at Western Kentucky. So Austin Reed, tons of passing numbers at Western Kentucky with Malachi Corley and some of those other guys that were there. So Austin Reed definitely can swing throw the ball around. I think he could be a guy that ends up on their practice squad. But as of right now, I think it's probably going to be Caleb. and Bajnet unless they sign a veteran. Some quick highlights from Dane Brugler on Caleb. Overall, Williams needs to be more consistent working on schedule from the pocket, but you live with the hiccups because the positives are special with his dynamic passing skills and instinctive ability to create. Though stylistically, he is likely a really impressive karaoke-style version of Patrick Mahomes, he is truly unique as a playmaker. His PFF grade last year was 90.3. 268 completions, 394 attempts, 3,647 yards, 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 68 completion percentage. He had a passing grade of 78 in the intermediate zone, 95.4 on the deep balls, 38.9 under pressure grade. Not good. Like, we've looked at most of these first round quarterbacks so far, and they're like in the 60s, 70s. I know Bo Nix was in the high 90s still. 38.9 is atrocious. So he's definitely going to have to improve on that. He definitely fumbles the ball quite a bit too when he gets sacked, so he needs to hold on to the ball. So we'll see if he can improve on those things. He's going to need to. And his average ADOT was 9.2 on his passes as well. But yeah, we'll see what happens there with Caleb. I have my reservations about him. I think quarterback 14 for redraft this year is probably fine. Dynasty, I still have him, I think, in my top 10, but I just have just pause on him a little bit. That's all. Running back. So DeAndre Swift here is their new running back that they signed this offseason. His PFF grade last year was 66.5, 45th of 59 among running backs. Khalil Herbert, he actually had a really good season, 14th of 59 with a PFF grade of 77.9 last year. So 14th among running backs for Khalil Herbert. Pretty good. He did miss some games. He does have a little bit of a, you know, gets banged up here and there, but he's a really, really solid backup. Roshan Johnson, everyone's favorite from last year, fourth round pick. His PFF grade was 65.8, which was 48th of 59 among running backs. Travis Homer is also there, and Ian Wheeler, a 2024 UDFA out of Howard. They kept four running backs last year and a fullback, so five total. I think this year it's probably going to be four again. I'm thinking Swift, Herbert, Roshan, and Travis Homer's a special teams player for them. So I think that's when it's going to be the four for them. How about you, Cooper? What do you think?
Yeah, I can see that it's just the four. I mean, so DeAndre Swift coming over, like, I don't think he necessarily ends up really taking over this backfield too much. And you kind of see that with projections. He's only projected to be running back 25. What's going to be an interesting thing to watch is kind of who else ends up playing behind Swift. So right now, Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson are essentially projected to be the same kind of running back in terms of fantasy, running back 48 and 51, respectively. And we kind of saw it last year of there were three different guys in Chicago. You never really knew which one you wanted week to week, and it kind of made all of them unplayable. And that might be the way that they're going this year as well, except for the fact that Swift might be slightly better this year. So it's one of those things where you're looking at it and you're like, all right, I guess if I want some of these running backs just in terms of the J.J. Zacharyson talks a lot about the ambiguous backfields and trying to target guys in those, especially the top guys. And so DeAndre Swift would be the top guy in an ambiguous backfield. But you still are playing with that riskiness right now of, yeah, it is pretty ambiguous. You don't know what kind of workload Swift is going to get. And so you might end up with a complete dud on your team when we get to like week five of the season if you end up investing in him.
Yeah, I think with Swift, though, he's kind of like Tony Pollard in a way where he's very efficient on his touches, but he can't have 20, 25 touches a game. Like, he's just not going to survive. But if you can get DeAndre Swift about 15 touches between rushing and receiving work, and then you can have Khalil Herbert come in, you can have Roshan Johnson come in and do a little bit, that's when I think Swift and Pollard, those types of players, are the most effective. So I'm kind of hoping Chicago does the same thing this year. Wide receivers here. So let's go. Starters are DJ Moore. His PFF grade last year was 89.3, which was 10th of 128. Tremendous year from DJ Moore. Keenan Allen was brought over here from the Chargers. His PFF grade last year was 86.3. He was 11th of 128. Rome Odunze, the 2024 first rounder, they took 9th overall. Ninth overall. Tyler Scott, the fourth round pick from last year, still there. Velus Jones, Dante Pettis, Freddie Swain, Colin Johnson, Nasimba Webster, Peter LeBlanc, a 2024 UDFA out of Louisiana, and John Jackson, a UDFA out of Nevada from last year. They kept 6 wide receivers on their initial 53 last year. So obviously DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze are locks. I would say I'm pretty confident Tyler Scott is going to be in there. With the return rules, I would expect Velus Jones to have a spot. So that's 5. And that 6 spot is wide open between the rest of these guys. Do you have like a favorite for like a 6 spot here, Koopa?
I do not. I literally, any of these guys could be the 6 wide receiver. It could also be somebody who's currently in free agency and ends up getting signed during training camp too. Like, there's that 6 spot, if they decide to keep one, is absolutely wide open with everyone. But I do agree with you. You're looking at DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. They're both all they are all assets you want in fantasy. DJ Moore, wide receiver 15, Keenan Allen, wide receiver 34, and Odunze, wide receiver 42. But all 3 of them could end up doing even better if Caleb Williams comes in and he's showing really well at the beginning of the season. Like, they could all skyrocket up. And then obviously Tyler Scott, he showed decently well last year, in Velus Jones with the return rules. Not only is he a kick returner, he's also the punt returner. So he's got all sorts of special teams utility that will allow him to easily slot in as a wide receiver 5.
Yeah, and Tyler Scott, same way. He's a really good returner as well. Did that in college a little bit. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I just want these top 3 guys. I don't want any of the other receivers, so I'm not rostering any of them. Quick look at Odunze. So overall, Odunze is an above average height, weight, speed athlete with the pass catching instincts and competitive focus to be a playmaking NFL receiver. He projects as a true X receiver and has the skills to elevate his quarterback's play, stylistically similar to Drake London. He had an 89.8 PFF grade last year at Washington, 92 catches on 140 targets, 1,639 yards, 13 touchdowns. He played on 599 pass snaps. He played 104 in the slot, 490 out wide, 89.5 versus man coverage, which is spectacular. He had 3 drops, 5.6 was his yak, which was 184th in the country, 15.5 ADOT, which was tied for 53rd in the country, 23 for 783 on deep balls, and 14 for 253 in the slot. So really excited to see what Odunze can do in this offense. I honestly, I think at their points in their careers, I think Odunze is a better player than Keenan Allen, but Keenan Allen obviously has the smarts, the route running ability, where he's still going to be a factor. So I would expect maybe a little bit of a down year for Odunze, but hopefully starts to pick it up towards like the middle of the season to the end of the season and really maybe kind of takes over Keenan Allen's spot as like the number 2 in this offense for right now. Tight ends, Cole Kmet, 73.7 grade last year, 11th of 72, probably his best season last year with the Bears. Gerald Everett, they brought over. Waldron knows him from the Rams and Seattle, being in that division. PFF grade last year of 65.8, 26th of 72 there. Mercedes Lewis was just re-signed, is going to be there for the third tight end spot. Steven Carlson, Tommy Sweeney, and Brendan Bates, a UDFA out of Kentucky from this year. None of those guys are just practice squad guys for me. So the main 3 they're going to keep are Kmet, Everett, and Mercedes Lewis. I think those guys are going to be the main 3. What do you think, Koopa?
Yeah, I agree. It's probably those 3. I could potentially see them not keeping Mercedes Lewis and keeping somebody else. I mean, Mercedes Lewis, he's been around a long time. He might just not physically be able to hold up anymore, but we've seen some older tight ends still continue to play at a high level. What's kind of interesting to me is when you start comparing, okay, who would the 5 pass catchers be out on the field? You have the three main wide receivers we were talking about, and then you have Cole Kmet. And if you're talking about a fifth person, I wouldn't be surprised to see Gerald Everett going out there a bunch. He's over the past few years shown that he can still catch the ball. He is still a good, solid blocking tight end. If they want to try and keep potentially an extra guy so they can have a lot of essentially six linemen kind of setups, like San Francisco ends up doing a lot with George Kittle, you could end up seeing Gerald Everett doing that. And so he might actually be getting on the field a lot more than you would normally think of for a second tight end on a team, and potentially catch some passes his way that could make him one of those sneaky, like, tight ends don't matter players, or somebody where if you've got a league that has extremely large tight end bonuses and best ball scoring and all that, that he could be somebody that you have rostered that could unexpectedly be giving you some points a couple weeks here over the course of the season.
No, that's a good call, especially like in best ball leagues, if you just roster them. Waldron obviously comes from Seattle last year. What did they have? They had Fant, they had Will Disley, they had Parkinson. They used all three of them. They all played like 33% of the snaps. It was crazy how they used their tight ends last year. I don't think it's going to be like that, but I could definitely see Gerald Everett playing, you know, probably 40%, maybe a little bit more on the snap. So I agree with you there. Chicago Bears offensive line. So they were 19th last year. Not too many changes here this year, but they do have a couple upgrades. So that's good to see. So their offensive line starts at left tackle with Braxton Jones, a fifth-round pick from 2022. His PFF grade last year was 68.8, 35th of 81. And then their backup is Karan. Man, I'm going to mess that one up. I just learned it the other day. Amoruje. I'm going to go with that. I forget what it was. I looked it up to remember it, and I just completely blanked on it. Anyways, his highlights on him. Overall, he's a raw prospect who needs technical and strength work before he sees live NFL reps, but his physical ingredients and competitive drive and the foundational elements that pro coaches want to develop. He projects as a backup left tackle as a rookie who has all the tools to gradually develop into an NFL starter. So good spot there for him. I believe he's the Yale tackle, so good spot for him to kind of learn here for the Bears. Left guard, Tevin Jenkins. His PFF grade last year was 72.6, 14th of 79 among guards. His best year, he did really good last year for them. His backup is Jatari Carter, a 2022 seventh rounder. Center is Ryan Bates, who they traded from Buffalo. They gave up a fifth round pick for Ryan Bates. This is a guy that Ryan Poles wanted last year. Couldn't get him. Bills had him, so he was able to trade for him this offseason to come in and be their center. So they're expecting high things from him. Coleman Shelton is his backup. Nate Davis right now is the right guard. His PFF grade last year was 52.9, which was 58th of 79 among guards. Matt Pryor is his backup. And Darnell Wright, the 2023 first-round pick, is at right tackle right now. His PFF grade last year was 62.4, 59th of 81, and his backup is Larry Barome. So hopefully those guys on the right side kind of pick up with a better center there. This offensive line has the makings to be, you know, right now they were 19th last year. I would say they have, you know, the ability to be in the top 15-ish there. So hopefully they pick it up this year. Kick returners, punt returners, go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, so Velus Jones last year handled all the kick returns and the punt returns for the Chicago Bears. And I would project for him to be doing the same this year, with the exception of with the new kick return rules, you can have two returners back there. I wouldn't be surprised if you end up having a second guy back there if teams figure out that, hey, that is the predominant strategy and that makes the most sense, which personally I think it does. So I would hope that most teams are putting two returners back there. If that's the case, look out for Dante Pettis or Tyler Scott to be back there with Velus Jones. But I would think that Velus Jones would be the quote-unquote primary return man and would be the one that would try and return more of the kickoffs than the other guy.
Yep. So fantasy outlook for the Bears this year. If Caleb plays like he's, you know, been written up to be this, you know, next coming of whatever you want, Dan Marino, whoever, Caleb Williams could be really, really good this year. I think he has the ability to run the ball for fantasy, so that helps us. He's gonna, not gonna say he's running for 700 yards or anything, but if he can, he can probably get us 300, 350 yards. So that'll help. He'll probably get a rushing touchdown or two. His passing ability, he's got three really, really good passing option weapons there. A really good pass catching running back and Swift. Komet's really good. You know, he had one of his best seasons last year, so he has all the tools in front of him. Just going to depend on if that offensive line can hold up. But I think it's going to be hard to pick which wide receiver every single week is going to be the one who hits. That's going to be the problem for fantasy. Like, is one week it's going to be Moore, one week Keenan, one week Odunze, and then DJ Moore again. So it's going to be tough to pick each week who they want. But I do want pieces of these guys. I just don't want them to be my number one or maybe even my number two. Probably, you know, back end number twos to high end threes is kind of where I want most of these guys. What are your thoughts here on the Bears?
Yeah, I think that realistically, in terms of what I'm looking for my teams, I'm obviously you want Caleb Williams, especially if you're in a super flex league. I'm more interested in DJ Moore as a, like, a top end wide receiver two type. Like, I think he could be a solid wide receiver two, that can, wide receiver twos, I like for them to have the spike potential that DJ Moore does, but I don't necessarily expect them to be spiking every single week like you would want to expect out of, say, a CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, that tier of player. Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, I think they're more of your flex guys, and the tight ends, they're outside of the top 12 tight ends for me. So unless you've got a two tight end league, unless you're playing in best ball, like, I'm not even looking at the tight ends here on the Bears. Potentially Gerald Everett is one of those guys that I might pick up in season if I need a spot start and he's on waivers or something like that.
Okay. All right, well, that is going to be it on the Chicago Bears episode for this one. We will be back with you next time with the Detroit Lions.